Welcome to Taking the Lead podcast, providing discussion which will motivate and inspire individuals to place themselves first on their priority list. This is your host, Pamela Burkett-Jones, career strategist, certified coach, consultant, speaker, and professor. And do I have a treat for you today? My guest today will be Erica Reed. Erica, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just looking forward to our conversation today because this is something I think I need, I know I need to hear. So Erica is a psychotherapist specializing in mental wellness. Erica, can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm a psychotherapist. I have been practicing in the field for over 20 years at this point. You know, when you hit 20, you stop counting. You just stay over 20. And so I have a private practice in Maryland. I work a lot with clients who are professionals and really dealing with life challenges and relationship challenges and traumas and stress and anxiety. So everything that we are going through, especially right now, is pretty top of mind for a great number of my clients. In addition to my practice, I also conduct workplace trainings because we don't just stay at home. We go at work to work as well. So I really want to create healthy workplace environments. And like you, I also am a professor, so I get to provide training and guidance to the next generation of mental health, mental wellness experts.
Excellent. Now, what made you decide to become a mental wellness expert?
Well, you know, it's interesting. For some reason, I've always known I wanted to be a server, to be a helper, to guide people in their change process and their transformation. So because of that, very early on from schooling, I just knew I wanted to be a therapist. And so I started in that field and worked really, really strongly in this area of supporting individuals and families. But what became apparent, as I mentioned before, is we don't just come to the session focused on what's going on in lives right now, and it just stays in the personal. Everything goes over to the workplace as well. So what really became apparent is we need to have mental wellness in all areas of our life, helping to remove some of the misunderstanding and the stigma that's attached to it, having organizations recognize that when you have healthy and happy employees, you have productive and engaged employees. So really helping people to see the view from the other side of the desk and recognize that if you can create a culture of compassion and empathy, you'll create a culture where people want to stay and work.
Yes, and then I also noticed, because I kind of speak to this as well to my clients and others, you know, others about mental wellness, because everybody seems to focus more on the mental illness, which that kind of draw people away from talking about it. We're saying the mental wellness part of it, where they should be using that more than saying mental illness, I think it would draw people's attention more to really diving in and actually coming up with things. What do you think about that?
Oh, I definitely agree. You know, sometimes if we have to speak the right language to get the right results. And if we are using words that drive negative reactions, then people are not going to hear us. And illness denotes the absence of something that we want to have. We don't want to be ill, and we will very quickly distance ourselves from hearing anything related to it. But if we understand that and agree, we all want to be well, mentally, physically, and come at the topic from the approach of these are the different things that you can do to create wellness in your life, then it really creates a different type of conversation.
Right. And then we so much focus and we drive in on your physical and your nutritional wellness. Now, how important is for an individual to really focus on their own mental wellness?
Oh, it's so very important. And I'm a bit biased by this, but your mental will drive your physical. You know, think of it in terms of typically we know what we're supposed to do. You know, we know what foods we should eat, and we know that we need to get off the sofa and we need to exercise. But even with that knowledge and that understanding of the benefits, we may say, I know I should, but I just don't feel like it. So even though we know the right responses, if emotionally and mentally we are not in a place to make that type of decision, then we're not going to do what's in our best interest. So essentially, your mental health, your mental wellness will determine how you think, feel, and act. And especially given what's going on right now, that perception is going to decide, perceptions of the events and relationships and workplace, wherever it is that you're looking at, is going to drive how physically and mentally well you are. So that mental health component, that mental wellness is key, and it's almost, you know, the top, and then it'll drive the physical and nutritional.
Yes, and it's basically, we always say an exercise is 80% of what you eat and 10% of the activity which you do that can give you the results. But technically, in the mental health part of it, mental wellness part of it, really, that's the top part of it. That should be focusing on ground on number one, which you should really maintain, because that is, and like some people say, is in your mind, is what you're thinking, mm-hmm. is how you think. Because if you can exercise all you want to, you can eat the right things, but if your mind is not right, you're going to actually go right back to where you were and to have to start back over from square one. But if you can get that mind focus and mental wellness, mental part of it, you can, you know, you're pretty much going to probably stay steady, you know.
Exactly.
And that's important. Now, you mentioned in our current times and circumstances, so I want to stay on that, and I want to ask you a question. You know, how have you seen it take a toll or chip on individual's state of mind during these times of uncertainty? What have you been seeing out in the field now with people that actually have admitted and come out to this is really, really taking a toll on them?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is taking a toll on so many people. There's this feeling of loss. Now, it could be a concrete loss, meaning a loved one has been impacted by COVID-19, and you know you're experiencing that feeling of loss. But more generally speaking, there's a feeling of loss of control. The things that were existing in day-to-day life, people no longer have control over. They don't feel they have control over. And when we come from a place of feeling a loss of control, that's going to drive feelings of anxiety. That's going to drive mm-hmm. feelings of depression and feelings of stress. And I'm just really seeing a lot of that for obvious reasons in the clients that I'm working with and the workplace trainings that I've been conducting virtually. The other part that is really apparent is we tend to keep busy, just generally speaking. We go from one thing to another. Unfortunately, that busyness often serves to cover unhealthy thoughts and feelings or histories of trauma that we just don't want to look at because it just feels too uncomfortable, or we just really don't want to deal with it. But now that that busyness is no longer present, all that stuff that's been stuffed down before is now emerging, and people are having to deal with it when they weren't quite prepared to.
Wow. Now, you know, what are some of the things that individuals can do to exercise mental wellness in order to maintain a healthy mind during this time period?
Well, I think the most important thing that anyone can do is just to be honest, to genuinely reflect on your thoughts and your feelings. Not trying to pretty them up, not trying to judge them, but just practicing from a place of mindfulness. This is what I'm thinking, and this is what I'm feeling. And from that perspective, then you can figure out what it is you need. And I think it's also important to keep a schedule and a structure in place. You know, a lot of people are working from home, and they just become very loose in their world, and that looseness leads to loss of control. Obviously, maintaining a level of distance from the emotion and the information that's coming forth that may be triggering. And I think the last point I would love to share is, if you know your personality type, you may need to be connected through the technology options that we have, but you also may need to disconnect and not be so connected through all of these Zoom meetings that are taking place. So just really being aware of what it is that you need at any given point in time.
Right, and it doesn't help with, you know, someone just binge watching on different things like the news, and they're watching shows that show things of hurt and negativity, and I'm sure that doesn't help at all when you're trying to keep your mind straight and constantly you're seeing in front of you just things that happen. And if you could just probably maybe tune the channels off and watch what you take in your mind, I'm sure what you think, would probably help a little bit
Definitely. Yeah, you definitely want to kind of tune out as much as possible the stuff that's going to create more stress. And I understand we all want to be informed. We all want to make sure that we know what we should be doing to keep ourselves and our family safe and healthy. But to a certain extent, you want to limit the amount of it. And I would suggest no more than 2 check-ins per day if you find that you're getting stressed, maybe in the earlier part of the day. And then no later than 7 o'clock. After 7 o'clock is your second check-in of the news and the updates, don't look at it anymore. You've gotten too close to bedtime, and we don't want to do anything that's going to interfere with your sleep.
Awesome. Now, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back with Erica Reed. So thanks for tuning in, sticking there with us, and we'll be right back.
Are you a business that's struggling to gain new customers and clients? Are you a woman who's written a book and don't know how to get media attention? Well, look no further. Help is here. Hi, my name is Precious Williams, and I am the new host of the podcast Pitching My Ass Off, which is going to air every Sunday at 5 p.m. Now, why should you listen to this podcast? Well, if you're one of those people that need help, or if you want to receive pitching advice, public speaking skills, if you want to know how to really bring in the media, investors, customers, and clients and attract them to you right now so that they buy right now, then you need to listen to the Pitching My Ass Off podcast. And I am your host, Precious Williams, airing every Sunday at 5 p.m.
This is Valerie Ashford Brown, CEO and founder of Leading Edge Coaching and Consulting. I'm a certified professional coach, empowerment speaker, and leadership development expert, helping working moms and professional women thrive amidst career and life transitions. Are you looking to change careers, trying to go back to work after a long break, or even feeling stuck? Have you said to yourself that you're too old, it's too late, and things just won't happen for me? Are you tired of juggling your faith, your family, and yourself, often getting nowhere fast? If you desire to reawaken, refine, and redesign your success, I invite you to connect with me as I help clients gain clarity and confidence by using the shift method to move to the next level. Join me in the Next Thrive coaching program that starts the week of May 18th of this year. Make sure that you contact me at 240-681-9375. You can also email me at info@valerieashfordbrown.com. And you can visit the website for more information at valerieashfordbrown.com. And finally, connect with me on Facebook and LinkedIn at the same name of valerieashfordbrown.com. I look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thanks for hanging in there with us. We're back. I'm back with Erica Reed. Erica, okay, now I have a question for the essential employees, you know, such as your first responder, military, medical staff, and now you could even say the cashiers and the people who are at retail that have to go to work and restaurants during the crisis, and they're subject to high exposure of the disease or, you know, of the virus. They've witnessed, you know, especially when you get your first responders and the medical staff, they witness many sick people, and some of them witness people who have died due to the virus. And now they're in a They're in a state of fear and uncertainty and possibly wonder if they're bringing the virus home to their family. So that's just added extra pressure on how they're feeling right now. What are some of the tips that you could offer these individuals to guard their mental health in these uncertain times?
Well, it really is challenging to do such important work at such high risk. So I just thank everyone that is working in these fields that are giving us the services and the information that we obviously all need. So I thank everyone, and I truly hope and encourage everyone to practice self-care. And too often self-care is defined as, you know, getting your nails done or going on vacation. But self-care is something that is uniquely specific to each person. And being true and honest about what that looks like for you. That may look like a quiet time sitting in a chair in a corner with a candle. That may look like reading something for fun that has absolutely no educational value at all. That may look like sitting in your car at the end of the day when you left the trauma that you were experiencing, and just having moments of silence in your car as a transitional point before you then go into the house with your family. Just that time to really compartmentalize, leaving the things that you had just experienced and witnessed, and to a certain extent, trying to pack it away, put it in a box, put it away from your mind and your spirit so that when you then walk into the house, you can walk in as the family person that's there to feel the love and support of those around you. And that's really an important part of self-care, is being able to compartmentalize those different pieces of you. But the other part of that is actually communicating it to people. So when you come home from wherever it is that you were just serving, it is really important that you share with the people in your life, hey, this is what I need right now. You may need just to have 15 minutes by yourself before anyone bombards you with questions about what's for dinner or can you help me with my homework. You may have to be very clear about sharing with them and not expect them just to know it. And that's sometimes the hardest part for people.
Wow. And then you know what? And I do have to ask you this. What about the people who have loved ones, like elderly parents and people far, you know, people that is not close to them at home and they can't right now see them, and they're kind of, and I've heard people say they're grieving the connection of those. I mean, you can talk to them on the phone, but some of these people, they're you know, they're used to seeing, but they don't want to, you know, spread anything or may get their loved one affected by the virus. What do you say to your clients that feel that they've lost that connection to that loved one that they normally get to go see or go visit, and they can't do it right now? You know, what are some ways they could cope with that?
Yeah, and that's obviously really, really hard, because we are people. We drive on the connections that we have with other people. And to feel that not being present is very traumatizing to a lot of folks. So you mentioned making sure you're speaking with them by phone. You know, technology allows us to have video conversations as well, rather it be through the smartphones that we have or through technology like a Zoom or something along those lines. I'm going to say, hey, go old school. You know, write them mm-hmm. something. Write them a letter and mail it to them. You know, have the kids draw pictures and mail it to them. You could send them an email. Just trying to find different ways to actually be creative in maintaining that level of connection. You can actually send responses back and forth, almost as if you're having an electronic written conversation. And that helps it to feel more extended, you know, like you're anticipating the response. I can't wait to see what they respond back. So it actually gives you something to look forward to, because it's not an immediate, you know, what's coming.
Yes, that's great. That's great. Now, and someone who's actually experiencing those signs, what are some of the important signs that someone should be aware of, which will indicate that they may be in jeopardy of actually losing that mental wellness or falling down a slope where they're not okay, as they say?
Yeah, and that's an important question, because we have to be self-aware so we know when we see the signs like, uh-oh, everything is not okay and I need to do something about this. I mean, the biggest thing is if you see significant changes in yourself, changes in your sleeping patterns, whereas you're sleeping all the time or you just can't manage to stay asleep or go to sleep. You know, those, I go to sleep, but I wake up in the middle of the night and then can't go back to sleep. And this is a repeated pattern of that you're experiencing. Or you're experiencing changes in your eating, where you're eating more or you're eating less. And I don't mean just the boredom eating, but really significant changes. Another thing to keep in mind is if you're having a lot of negative thoughts, and negative thoughts meaning kind of like a hopeless mentality, like, you know, what's the point? If you ask yourself, what's the point? It doesn't matter. If these are questions that you're asking yourself and you're maybe having some irritability or lack of patience, then that's something else to keep in mind. Feelings of overwhelm. And if you cannot conceptualize the end of this all, like, and that ties to the hopelessness feeling there, you know, believing and understanding and trusting that while we're in the midst of it is painful and uncomfortable, but knowing that there is going to be an ending or at least a new way of living, that if you can't see that, that's also something to say, maybe I need to do something.
Do you have any like tools or that you could recommend or activities?
I do. I actually recommend to a lot of my clients an app called the Calm app, C-A-L-M. And what it is a guided meditation that's through your phone. It's actually a free app. They do have a paid version, but I highly recommend you just stick with the free. It's totally good. And it guides you in trying to have a place of relaxation and peace of mind. And it gives you different options that you can select from. You can also go to YouTube. YouTube is a plethora of information, and you can find videos teaching you how to meditate or practice mindfulness or yoga, anything like that. And then, you know, good old-fashioned paper and pen with journaling, just writing down your thoughts, writing down your feelings. Something happened. How do you feel about it? There's no formal process for journaling. But the act of getting out and expressing that thought and that feeling is extremely powerful and extremely healing.
Yeah, and you know, I have the Calm app, and the Calm app I really love, and actually I was just told about it maybe a month ago. And even if you're having trouble sleeping, they even have a storytelling part on it as well. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Where you know, they tell you, you know, you get a story, and you know, we may be adults, but it's just interesting, you know, calm voice, someone time, and I just like, oh my gosh, where has this been? Because it's just a lot of information. I have the free app, free part, but I mean, it's even a lot free, so I can't imagine what the paid is like. But yeah, just the free app alone gives you so many different things that you can actually venture and see what you may need. Now, what advice would you give individuals who are seeing a decline in their mental health during this time and unable to make that wellness shift? What would you say to them?
Well, if you see that there's a decline, if you see that there's significant changes that are really not okay, the biggest thing is don't sit in it and just hope that it goes away. You kind of need to take some action. And that's the best gift that you can give to yourself, is saying, I deserve something right now. And what, you know, there are a lot of different options that you can choose. If you are employed, most employers offer an employee assistance program where you can receive free counseling, free therapy. And obviously, given what's going on right now, that would be in the form of telemental health, where you're having sessions through video or even phone call with your therapist. You can also receive assistance through your insurance company directly to get that type of counseling. Calling a friend or a family member, you know, if it's feeling kind of dark and you're feeling not okay, reaching out just so that they know, and you can let them know, hey, I'm not feeling okay right now. I don't need you to try to fix it. I just need to know that you're there. And sometimes maintaining that connection and knowing that someone is thinking about you and wanting to check in on you is very, very helpful. But once again, don't just sit in it and hope that it passes. Take action.
Yeah, that's actually great advice to to, you know, to be able to share with people, because, you know, right now a lot of things are closed and, you know, you can't even go see the your physical, your doctor, you know, so it's just nice to have information that you can really get available. And I'm just, and also just surrounding yourself and talking to people can help you actually try to get through this, and letting people know where you are, you know, in this, and not keeping it silent. And I really like that. So right now, Erica, we're going to take a brief break and we're going to close out the show. So I want to thank my audience for tuning in, and we'll be right back with my guest, Erica Reed. This is Pamela Burkett Jones, CEO and founder of Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting. I'm a certified coach, a consultant, and a trainer. I work with individuals looking to take charge of their life and become more proactive in making key decisions towards their goals and visions. Are you preparing to make a career transition and feeling stuck and unsure of where to start or deciding on your next step? Are you tired and unfulfilled in your current position or career choice in general and longing to change but feel lost and clouded in making the decision for your needs? Have you desired to start or do something you always wanted to do, but you stopped in your tracks and have no energy towards moving forward? Well, I help clients gain clarity and come up with a plan to support their next action steps as you move towards your desired destination in life. You can contact me at 240-682-1314 by email at contact@proactivelife.com. You can visit my website at liveproactively.com. I'm on social media and Facebook at Proactive Life and Coaching and Consultant, Instagram at Live Proactively, and Twitter at LiveProactiveL1. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We're back with Erica Reed. So Erica, got a question for you. Do you have any type of events or workshops or anything that, you know, you can offer, I mean, that you've offered or you're offering now or have offered in the past that you could share with the audience?
Yes, I do. I actually just last week hosted a virtual live session, a workshop entitled Managing Stress and Building Resiliency, because obviously we all need different strategies to manage the stress that's going on that extends beyond the whole deep breathing. And we talk about that, but it's so much more to managing stress that I figured I would share with people to help them during these challenging times. And then we added the resiliency part on there because we're going to face challenges on a continuous basis, and not just today, but tomorrow. Everything may change tomorrow. So how do we recover and bounce back and not get knocked down so hard the next time we have a challenge? So I offered that as a live session last week, but now I am offering the recording of it so people can still receive that same type of information in a video format that you can, you know, access as many times or whenever you need it. And it also has a workbook that has it's a step-by-step guide that I talk you through throughout the video that shares with you all of these strategies, and you're filling it in and ultimately creating your own personal stress management plan. So if anyone is interested in that, or you know someone that you think could benefit from it, they can go to the page at bit.ly/ENR stress, and ENR stress is all one word, ENRSTRESS.
Awesome. Now, Erica, now, if someone wanted to have an opportunity to speak with you and get in touch with you and talk to you about your services, how would they do that?
Well, I definitely welcome you to visit me at my website, ericanreed.com. That's ericanreed.com.
Do you have social media? Any, you know, any, how, do you have any social media, Instagram, Facebook,
yes,
Twitter?
I am on Facebook and I am on LinkedIn, and they can find me at Erica Reed, LCSWC.
Well, Erica, I want to thank you for joining the show. It's been a great show. Well needed, much needed, much needed during this time. And even, you know, when we are not, you know, when this is over, because as we say, this too will pass, definitely just making sure you maintain the mental health and your mental wellness is a must, no matter what, you know, if it is thing when things go back to the new normal and even in this, what we are now. So I want to thank you for saying yes and being on the show.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you so much for inviting me. I've definitely enjoyed being able to share this information.
Well, I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. Remember, we're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. If you miss it at 7, you can always catch the replay. It's released at 7, but you can listen to it 24/7 thereafter that. So, if you would like to reach out to me, you can contact me in three different ways. You can contact me at contact@proactivelife.com, visit my website at liveproactively.com, or my phone number is 240-682-1343. Thank you for joining us, and see you back next week.